It is that time, ladies and gentlemen, for another episode of Beyond Reform, a weekly podcast of the Transformation Implementation Unit, where we discuss matters of public sector transformation in the government of Jamaica. Glad to have you join us. I'm your host, Aniki Clark. Today, we are talking about improving the operations of government through a concept called shared services. Joining me for this discussion are Deborah King-Murray, Program Manager for Shared Corporate Services in the TIU, Michael McEniff-Jones, HR and Organization Development Consultant, and Steve Hodgson, Senior Consultant with EY Jamaica. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aniki. It's very good to be here.
My pleasure.
And Steve, we promise not to keep you long past your bedtime.
Well, it's early evening.
Okay, great. I'm sure you have your tea keeping your company there. Well, Deborah, if we could start with you. When we say shared services, what exactly are we talking about?
Okay, Aniki, simply put, shared corporate services is the consolidation of select administrative and technical operations and functions. So these functions that would normally be done separately in each ministry, department, or agency is now going to be delivered through a central point. And this central point allows us to be able to optimize efficiency, the utilization of resources, so you know economies of scale will come into the question. And it will allow us to reduce the cost of delivering the service, but at the same time, improve the customer experience. So it's a service delivery business. That is its core function. But not all services are ideal for delivery through this mechanism. And sometimes you may hear people refer to it as back office. But as practitioners in shared service, we prefer to call it operations. And so essentially what we provide is operation support. And for the services that are broad cutting, widely used across the public sector, there is sufficient volume. It's repeatable in terms of the transaction, so we can create our administrative experts in the various functions.
Okay, thanks for that. And, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, so they're just centralizing. How different is shared services from centralization? What's the distinction? Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that question, Aniki. That's a very relevant question, and oftentimes persons confuse both. So although the shared corporate services operates from a central point, meaning that the shared service team will operate from a central point as it relates to the utilization of technology in the workflow processes in order to provide the service, the shared service is a technology-driven entity, and it is focused primarily on service delivery, service excellence. And so that is really the focus. So in order to do that, it is guided by what we call service level agreements. And so there is clear understanding of the roles and functions of the teams in the shared services center, and the departments and agencies hold the shared services center accountable for the delivery of these services against the service level agreements. Whereas in a centralization of service, centralization is really focused on an amalgamation of the resources. So you would amalgamate or combine your functional teams in one central spot, and what they will do is deliver business as usual functions mm-hmm. for the various entities. So this focus is not necessarily focused on service delivery or service efficiency. It is a cost-effective measure, but it does not provide the added benefits of a shared services environment, such as the maximization of the service in terms of the delivery. In the shared service organization, the users of the service are considered as clients and customers, whereas in the centralization, they are mainly end users of the function.
That's a very important distinction. And Steve, mm-hmm. you've spent over 20 years, you know, setting up shared services in various organizations. Why is it seen as such a good model for improving organizational efficiency?
I think, Aniki, because it brings together several different levers of change, several different techniques, if you will, to bring about the efficiency improvement and, of course, the service improvement as well. And it's not dissimilar to the journey that we've all been on with banking. So I can remember, I'm old enough to remember, a time when in banking, if you wanted to complete a transaction, you had to go to the bank. Whereas now you can do most things to concern with banking online. And the technology enables you to do that 24/7. at your convenience, and that's the customer end of it. But from the bank's perspective, it means that they achieve improvements in efficiency because they haven't got armies of people pushing paper about, basically. So I think it's a fantastic combination of the technology, the people, performance management, which Debbie had already alluded to, and a focus on service rather than control. So it's a really good vehicle to bring about benefits for the organization and for the users of the service.
And I suppose you have seen this throughout your experience.
Well, it's true. And in fact, I've been doing this long enough to really be able to see a difference between how things were done in shared service years ago and how they're done now. The technology has come on massively. We've all been through a pandemic with COVID-19, and we've learned to work virtually. We've learned to do things online which we never thought were possible. And in some senses, that's accelerated the change. When I started, there was still a lot of paper in service centres. Now there's virtually none. So it's been a journey over 20 years. And I've seen that progress, not just in the public sector, but also in the private sector.
Great. And Michael, you too have had your experiences of setting up shared service arrangements, certainly within the Caribbean. It's mainly a private sector solution, people tend to say. How can the public sector effectively apply it to its operations? What's been your experience?
Right. Anika, I like that question, particularly because my experience was related to attempting to connect people, who have kind of a shared legacy, cultural legacy, but who nonetheless did things differently across 18 countries or 17 countries in the Caribbean. And I think that, one of the basic elements for success has to be trust and a willingness of people to let go. I believe shared services rises and falls on the extent to which people are prepared to trust, others and to let go. Certainly because there are just people who function much better within an environment where they can exercise control, through the entire cycle of a transaction. But one of the things that is certainly interesting is that, when I started my journey, it was certainly only local, and it was more than just HR. It was operations, and learning delivery. Several things were part of this whole shared services initiative locally. And one of the things that was really great was something called a buyer's council, which was really a regular meeting of the folks who are being served with the shared services management. So the people who were being served were the buyers. Right. And so we established this buyer's council, which gave the buyers an opportunity to say what they liked, what they didn't like, and what they hoped could improve. And so I thought that was a great way of kind of collaborating, getting consensus around solutions, and making everybody happy. The other thing that I thought was really great was that, shared services releases a better and stronger focus on employee self-serve. You can tinker with employee self-serve because it just seems like something good. But as you begin to establish shared services and the technology begins to become much more, pronounced, if you will, what it does is that it opens your eyes to not just to how technology can be used to deliver from the center, but how technology can be used to enable employee self-serve or self-service in a way that eventually, in fact, reduces the work of the shared services function. Apart from making sure that that the databases behind the employee self-serve works, but what you get is that you start with stuff being delivered from the center, and as you evolve, employee self-serve or self-service begins to grow. which then reduces the need for so much being initiated from this central location, apart from maintenance work behind the databases that support the employee self-serve.
Very interesting thoughts, Michael. And on that note, we take a break. Stay with us, because when we return, we get a better understanding of the Government of Jamaica's entry into the shared service arena.
We did it!
Did what, boss?
I've just reviewed this quarter's audit report from Internal Audit Shared Services, and things are looking pretty good for our team. This proves that we're following our standard operating procedures to the T.
So those auditors that were up and down the other day with their fancy laptops and equipment, that's what they were doing?
Indeed. You know, I really like their approach. It's a more collaborative and technologically driven approach to conducting audits in government. And shared services brings together auditors with a wider range of expertise to provide high quality analyses and reports.
Internal Audit Shared Services is part of the government's strategic objective to improve public sector efficiency and effectiveness. With the recent completion of the pilot, steps are now being taken to transition to a permanent shared service arrangement. This was a progress update brought to you by the Transformation Implementation Unit, TIU, building a better public sector for all. For more information, visit publicsectortransformation.gov.jm.
Welcome back, listeners. If you've just joined us, we have been discussing shared services with an expert panel of Deborah King-Murray, Michael McEnough-Jones, and Steve Hodgson. I'm your host, Aniki Clark. Michael, when we took the break, we were just getting into the benefits of establishing shared services. Can you give us some real examples so our listeners can maybe wrap their heads around how this will really work in the government of Jamaica?
So I think, if you know, just kind of leveraging my own experience here, we consolidated, you know, what we call HR transactions, benefits administration, you know, pensions administration, payroll, and so on. What we did was that we brought those together into a shared services operation for HR for, like I said, 17 countries into one location in Kingston, Jamaica. And what that did is released capacity in HR departments across the region that could be focused on strategic functions, and that could also supply needed capacity in a center of excellence that we were now establishing to support the overall restructuring of HR. So it enabled HR to be restructured and the capacity we need for the restructuring supplied without the need for any net additions to headcount.
Okay.
While creating greater efficiencies in the transaction environment. And what it certainly did was enable us to create specialist teams, you know, with focused knowledge, and certainly documentation around that focus knowledge that could now support the needs of the locations, so that in the branches, in the countries, you know, the subject matter experts could then focus more on relationship management, which is badly needed, and strategic initiatives in the countries, you know, supporting the businesses in terms of talent management and recruitment strategies and so on, and certainly compensation design and labor relations in the specific countries, because we had unions across the region. So those are the key benefits in that. For the wider initiative that I was exposed to and had shared responsibility for, you know, it certainly enabled us to bring together a lot of duplicated functions on the operational side, you know, reconciliations of suspense accounts and so on, and a lot of other transactions into a shared operation, which again released back office capacity, enabling us to shift resources to the front line. So then the service delivery at the counters, where we're delivering our perishable good here, the service is consumed where a place is offered. We were able to assign more resources to let's call it the front desk, and so better service to people who are in lines, and certainly enable us to divert more resources to sales.
Great. Thanks so much for that, Michael. Deborah, your program manager spearheading the introduction of shared corporate services in the public sector here in Jamaica. And Michael just elaborated on some of those real benefits. What are those areas slated for shared services, and how will we see the benefits that he alluded to?
So, Aniki, the areas that we are focusing on for shared service right now includes human resources, payroll, internal audit, finance and accounting, procurement administration, and ICT support services. So for the future, we will also give consideration to PR and communications and asset management. But right now, we are focusing on these prioritized areas and functions because they are the ones that are going to be delivering the most benefits for us at this moment. And we see the synergies to be gained as a result of standardization because they are guided by similar policy, legislation, etc. And we have been able to design the different processes and workflows that will effectively allow us to provide this service seamlessly across all of these service lines to our ministries, departments, and agencies. And as Michael alluded to, what this will do, it will encourage them and give them the bandwidth thereby to be able to focus more on their core functions for delivery.
Yeah, which is critical because you can't be bogged down in administrative tasks so that you're not able to focus on what you're really meant to be doing. I know we recently completed the HR and internal audit pilots, and you said more are on the way. How did those pilots perform and what are the lessons learned?
Okay, thank you, Aniki, for that question. And I'm very, very pleased and very happy to report that we are quite pleased with the performance of our pilots. And I might add that this was an historic achievement for the government of Jamaica. And we know Jamaica has always been a trailblazer. And the successful completion of the pilots has put us into the history books of public administration because we have basically become the first public sector in the English-speaking Caribbean to have introduced shared service in its operation. Yes. So I want to, and I always take the opportunity to use any, especially in this medium, to congratulate the team, our assigned team members who joined us from the various ministries, our counterparty teams in the various service lines in the MDAs, as well as our shared service project team and our TIU project teams, as well as our EY partners. So we just want to say a big thank you to everybody who supported us.
That's great.
And the Ministry of Finance, Cabinet Office, etc., and all the pilot entities. Mm-hmm. In terms of the performance of the pilot, it's important to also note that the pilots were established and implemented in the middle of the COVID.
Yes, I remember.
Right. So it was quite a challenge for us, but we were able to rise to the challenge and we actually seamlessly transitioned to working remotely and delivering our services without even our clients being aware that we were no longer physically located at Saxtorp. Yes. So that's a real tribute to the team as well as to the flexibility of this model.
Awesome.
All right. So in terms of some notable achievements for HR shared services during the period of the pilot, which would have run from March 2021 to June 2022, mm-hmm. We were able to achieve 95% of our performance against SLAs. And for internal audit, we were able to complete all of the planned audits.
Okay.
So we completed all the planned audits. And for payroll, we were able to utilize the technology, similar to what Michael alluded to in terms of the self-service. Mm. So we were able to integrate that and process our self-service claims, etc., and be able to process over 6,000 requests, service requests. Very and the payroll pilot was even shorter because that was between February of this year and June.
Mm-hmm. And what has the feedback been like from the MDAs that you've served?
Okay, so the feedback has been positive and instructive. And we have taken the feedback, both positive and negative, and we have taken them and we have infused them into our continuous improvement strategies. And so the lessons learned from the pilot, we could probably break them down into the technical ones, the ones that impacted the service delivery through the utilization of technology, mm-hmm. those that were process-oriented and those that were service delivery-oriented. Mm-hmm. And we have been able to take those feedback and implement already some of the corrective actions, and during this period we are also working on improving some of the processes, etc., so that when we are ready to go beyond pilot,
right.
we would have taken all those lessons learned into consideration.
Good. Steve, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, yes, great. Based on what Debbie has just said in terms of the sheer numbers and the feedback from the clients, is this consistent with your own experience setting up shared services arrangements?
Yes, it is, actually. I think, you know, what Michael and Deborah have both alluded to by way of benefits fits with my experience elsewhere. So, you know, the bottom line is you can spend less money administering the public sector and more money delivering services to citizens from the public sector. You know, so efficiency improvements in the back office, if we can use that expression, allow more of the available resources, because resources are always going to be constrained in the public sector. It allows more of those resources to be used delivering frontline services. And in the UK experience, that's definitely been the case. So I've worked on a number of programs in the UK public sector where the target is expressed as, you know, number of additional nurses in the NHS or a number of additional policemen on the beat. And so that's a big theme. I think the other thing that strikes a chord is shared services a journey. And the government of Jamaica have been very ambitious with this program. Typically, these programs start with a single shared service line. So there might be an HR one, or there might be a finance one, or there might be a procurement administration one. It's unusual for a government, especially, to attempt five or six all at once. And the fact that they've made so much progress, I think, is you know, a testimony to their determination and skill in driving forward the change. But it is the beginning of a journey, and it's not the end of the journey. And the Deborah alluded to continuous improvement, ever better ways of doing things. And certainly that will be a feature going forward. There'll be subsequent improved generations of technology. We'll find better ways of using the technology that we've got. So it's a journey, and we're in the foothills, but we're certainly not in the valley.
I like that. Deborah, where do we go from here in terms of making shared services a permanent feature in the GOJ?
Okay, Aniki. So we are going to be using the benefit or benefiting from our lessons learned, and we are going to be putting steps and procedures and systems in place to address those, to learn from them, and to maximize the opportunities created by these lessons learned. And so we are putting that into practice right now because we are gearing up for our next round of pilots. So we will be going to implement our wave two pilots, and these include finance and accounts and procurement administration. So that pilot is coming up. We have already launched the startup activities, and we are looking to accelerate that. Moving beyond that, we are going to be, so our focus from the project's perspective was basically in line with getting the pilots off for the shared service. And you know, the shared service was approved in the master rationalization plan. And so we have been building out the pilots because, you know, the pilot is really the final test of the solution. It allows us to test in a live way while we are delivering the service, ascertain feedback, and make the necessary corrections. And so we have been able to demonstrate the effectiveness of the solution.
Yes, certainly with those numbers.
Right. So we have been able to prove that despite the COVID, despite the challenges, despite the fact that it is new, etc., it is a viable option. And so we will be providing our report to the Ministry of Finance and the Public Service and Cabinet Office. And so we expect that we will be able to move towards the establishment of the Shared Corporate Services Department.
We look forward to that. And thank you very much, lady and gentlemen, for this interesting discussion on shared corporate services. And that's how we close out today's episode. We do hope you learned a thing or two about shared services and what the government is doing to improve public sector operations. My guests on this episode were Deborah King-Murray, Program Manager for Shared Corporate Services in the TIU, Michael McEnough-Jones, HR and Organization Development Consultant, and Steve Hudson, Senior Consultant with EY Jamaica, who partnered with the Government of Jamaica to set up Shared Corporate Services. Until next time, I'm Aniki Clark. Remember, you can check out our website at transformation.gov.jm for links to this and other episodes of the Beyond Reform podcast. Catch you next time.